Welcome to the Scariest Things Podcast, your gateway to the trends and tropes of the horror genre. I'm your host, Eric Lee, and with me as always is...
Mike Toxie Campbell.
And today we've got a podcast extra where we're going to talk about the headlining feature of the Another Hole in the Head Film Festival, a film we'd like to call hashtag Shakespeare's Shitstorm, starring Lloyd Kaufman as...
Lloyd Kaufman.
As Prospero and multiple other characters. Abraham Sparrow as Big Al, also Antonio, wink, wink. Kate Marigal as Miranda. Monique Dupree as Caliban.
Who was brilliant.
Both of those two actors.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Caliban was great. Miranda, the woman who played Miranda, was awesome. Right. Awesome.
And Aaron Patrick Miller, who plays Ferdinand. Now, this is
Antonio's son.
Yes. And this is a Shakespearean adaptation done trauma style.
Indeed.
And today we are joined by a very special guest, the director of the hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm. He is a man with 138 producing credits, 377 acting credits, and an astounding 55 directing credits, including Toxic Avenger, Troma's War, Surf Nazis Must Die, The Class of Nukem High, and most germane to this discussion, Tromeo and Juliet.
That's right. And Eric, I would also argue that he, Lloyd Kaufman, and Troma might single-handedly be responsible for this podcast.
Yeah.
I do remember going into, I remember having many fisticuffs in video stores with our good friend and film auteur arguing about films in the video store. And I also remember going into the video store right near campus, seeing a Surf Nazis Must Die poster on the floor. And I said, oh my God, what is that? I have to have it. I asked the guy, can I have that? And he said, sure, it's free. I still have that Surf Nazis Must Die poster.
Oh, that's so awesome.
In my house. It's rolled up, of course. It's not hanging up, but it is rolled up. But so I would propose that Lloyd Kaufman and Troma Films are responsible for the Scariest Things podcast.
Well, and it brought us together.
Discuss.
Yeah. So it's a real treat that we actually have.
Oh, my God,
We will be joined by the man, Mr. Troma himself.
Yes, Lloyd Kaufman. Yep.
And, you know, it's for having such a long career, he's still doing the provocative, push the boundaries, edge of the genre.
Yes, he is. And that's the thing I've always loved about Troma Films is that, as I've regaled you with now several times, they are smart. Or they are stupid,
yes.
But it doesn't mean they're dumb.
Right.
Because they're not. If you look at all, like you go back to almost every single Troma film, and it is ultimately a mirror reflection of what is going on in society of that at that very time. I mean, Toxic Avenger was Three Mile Island. The America KKK film was all about the rise of the militias in the late 80s and early 90s. Poultrygeist was, of course, all about, you know, GMOs and the rise of the American fast food franchise. Troma's War was all about the Iraq war. And now we have
something which is skewering social justice and big pharma
and opioid addiction in America. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, they're dumb films, but doesn't mean they're stupid, because they are absolutely not stupid. They're very, very smart films.
I will also go out and say that the acting caliber of the crew that he put together this time is a cut above most Troma films that I've seen, that I can recall. I think the editing was tighter. I think there was so much that was well thought out. I think this was for a Troma film, it felt like a passion play.
And you will hear
Lloyd. Reverence for actually The Tempest.
That's right.
And
which was Shakespeare's last, I think it was his last play, if I'm not mistaken.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
I think it was.
Okay. We'll have to Google that, because I heard that it was part of his like in the first third of his career.
And I thought it was one of his last. Which is why we're horror podcasters.
We're not
Shakespearean Shakespearean academics. Thinkologists.
Right. And to be honest, I it's been since my sophomore year in high school, I think, when I last really had to look into The Tempest, or actually we read it in school.
I was supposed to be reading The Tempest, but instead I watched Surf Nazis Must Die.
That came out later. Come on, man. I think you're right in that it is in terribly bad taste.
Yep.
Intentionally.
Yep.
The man knows what he's doing.
Yep.
You don't go out there and advertise a movie. In fact, they don't really have advertising budgets for Troma. But you don't go out there and say hashtag Shakespeare shitstorm and expect that you're going to get, big posters and billboards without some serious editing.
Yes. There's no $50 million ad budget for Shakespeare shitstorm.
So this will be a bit of a way for us to get the word out, because this is a word of mouth way of marketing.
Yeah, that's the way Troma has always worked. And if you don't believe us, go over to watch.troma.com and sign up for a Troma account and take a look at the incredible volume of stuff available. You can sign up for a Troma account and you will never make it to the bottom of the barrel in your lifetime.
Right.
No way.
And so we will now bring in our special guest. It's our honor and privilege to have Mr. Troma himself, Lloyd Kaufman.
Hey, scariest.
So, Lloyd, so happy to have you here with us.
Well, thank you. Happy and honored, Scariest Podcast, and Toxie's right behind me to wish you well during these delightful COVID Christmas.
Yeah. How are you and your family holding up through COVID this year?
It's my wife and I, 24/7. And she hasn't killed me yet, but
nice. Well, we've been fortunate over here in Portland, Oregon. We survived the riots.
Yeah, you've had quite an exciting time yourselves there in the wonderful Portland, where you have assisted suicide.
Nice to have you here now.
The home of social justice.
Yeah, that's right.
If you want social justice, well, come to Portland, Oregon.
I think hashtag Shakespeare shitstorm would be good to show some of the people on both sides. You know, there are good people on both sides.
That's what they say. That's what they say.
Yes.
I'll get canceled, thanks to you guys.
We were fortunate enough to see you come by at the Hollywood Theater a few years back to do things Return to Newcomb High.
Part two.
That's not all I did. But nice to see you again. And that's a wonderful theater. Hollywood Cinema is one of the great cinemas in the world. No question about it. One of the few that show real independent movies, not pre-strained independent movies through Fox Searchlight or Sony Classics. Hollywood's not afraid to show Orson Welles' last film and Troma movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you bestowed a Troma diploma on Movie Madness as well, which that's where we get all of our Troma films. We just truck right on over to Movie Madness and they've got everything. Literally.
How's Mike doing? Has Mike left?
Portland was much appreciated.
Has Mike stepped away or is he still over there?
Movie, we saw
Mike. Oh, you missed that? I think I can. Hang on.
You have to unmute. Oh, there we are.
How's that? All right.
That was...
Sorry. You bestowed a diploma on Movie Madness, a Troma diploma on Movie Madness, which was, you can't beat that. That's where we get all of our films, is we just truck on over to Movie Madness.
Movie Madness is great.
test copies kicking around.
Give Mike my love. Give Mike and the gang my love. Also, I gave Mike
Nazis Must Die and some of the earlier Troma films as well.
Mike and I spent our formative film years in the 80s watching Toxic Avenger and Class of Nukem High, and so we have a deep appreciation for all that you've done for cinema. But why don't you go ahead and describe hashtag Shakespeare's Shitstorm, which is going through the festival circuit right now.
One thing I did was give Mike at Movie Madness one of the original publicity masks for the Toxic Avenger back in the 80s.
Oh,
so
there?
Somewhere in his museum he has it, yeah, along with the Scarlett O'Hara's jockstrap and all the other things that he's collected from the wonderful Hollywood days.
It's a museum. It's a video store and a museum. It's fantastic.
It sure is. It sure is. And one of the glad last.
I don't know how in New York, how many video stores are still standing in New York, you figure?
None. I don't know. Well, the only one I know of is downtown Forbidden Planet. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but there's a Forbidden Planet in London, too. In fact, I think there are two of them, but I don't think the New York and the London are connected. But the one in New York had a going out of business GoFundMe, so I contributed to that. Yeah. And I think I think it saved them. I think the fans saved the store. I think, you know, I can't go out, but from what I gather, it's at least it's doing okay. They apparently have a lot of orders, and we saved them. So, that's good. But otherwise, I don't think there are any video stores in New York. There aren't even any theaters in New York. movie theaters. No movie theaters except for the film noir cinema. That's about, and the Nighthawk is still around, I guess, but that's it. And no, not even porn, nothing. They're all closed.
Yeah, thank you, Rudy Giuliani, and cleaning up Times Square, right?
Yeah, that's right. The result of having two movie chains run the country. One. You know, you have AMC and Regal, and they laid off 200,000 people. Troma hasn't laid off anybody.
The Hollywood will survive because they've gone through. I think we locally fund it, right? So you know, we get Dan Halstead and his crew. You know, we're all. I think The Scariest Things is a big supporter of them, and they do the film festival circuit, and that's, you know, we get up here, it's the Portland Horror Film Festival and the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival. And right now, Another Hole in the Head is the one that's currently running, right, with your movie. You care to share with us a little bit about Shakespeare's Shitstorm?
I shall indeed. The movie is based on Shakespeare's The Tempest, which is my favorite Shakespearean play. And I would have done it back when I made Tromeo and Juliet with James Gunn, but I wasn't old enough. And as you know, Prospero, the protagonist of The Tempest, as well as Shakespeare, hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm, that's the hashtag is very important. Yes. Prospero's an old man, and I feel a bit like him. He's been banished from his kingdom. I've been kicked down into the reeds of it isn't Hole in the Head a San Francisco festival?
Yeah, they are.
Yep.
So they're playing movies in Portland, Oregon, huh?
We're streaming it.
Oh, that's great. So it's not the Hollywood Theater, or it is the Hollywood Theater?
No.
Not yet. I wouldn't be surprised if they get it next year.
Right.
So it's in this Hole in the Head streaming festival.
Right. Yeah. And so we've actually, there's been a lot of festivals. We had the big night stream festival that did Brooklyn and Boston Underground and Overlook. They combined their efforts and did one big streaming thing.
Oh, that's
great. It's
really
great. Festivals do it, and it gives us a chance to see movies from all over the world.
You just shouldn't cross streaming festivals. Don't cross streaming. Did you ever see that movie where the two dudes they get drunk and they pee in the fountain and cross streaming and they end up in each other's bodies? It was pretty funny. I watched it with Mark Neveldine, made Crank, in which I appear, or Crank 2. I'm in that one. But we watched it one night. It was funny. It was very funny. It has stars in it. I don't think it was too successful, probably because of the erect penis shots. But it had some big stars. Any rate, I can't remember the name of it. Something like Changing Places or something places. But back to hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm, because I'm so fascinating. I wanted to feel like Prospero when we made the movie, so I waited till I was old. Prospero was banished, Mike. He was kicked out of his kingdom. I've been kicked out of any hint of success by the media consolidation and the conspiracy between the bureaucrat, labor, and corporate elites. And I've been pushed deeper and deeper and deeper into the reeds, down into the reeds of the underground. Prospero is a magician, old man losing his powers, but he's also a magician to make up for it. And my magic is not Prospero's magic. I can't imprison people inside of trees, but I make movies, which is another kind of magic. And The Tempest is the trippiest of Shakespeare's plays, and I'm heavy into drugs, of course, thanks to Yale University. And what else? It's got a monster, right? The Tempest has got a monster in it, and Troma's dealt with a lot of monsters, and it's got some singing. Shakespeare had songs, and I love musicals. So that The Tempest is perfect, and of course the storm itself, the giant storm, which was pretty damn good for considering how great the storm sequence is in our Tempest. I'd say it's, you know, there've been a lot of movies and shows of The Tempest on stage with big stars and in movies. I swear, I think our storm is the best one. I've seen almost all the Tempests. I don't think I've missed any of them. But I do believe that the... What's that?
I think it's far better than Peter Greenaway's Storm. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say far better than Peter Greenaway.
I missed it. What did you say? I can't hear you, Mike.
Oh, far better than Peter Greenaway's
Storm. Oh, shit. He wants that new Greenaway deal that... AOC is so hot on. I never liked that guy. No, he's very talented. Very, very talented. And speaking of talented people, anyway, the hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm's getting winning best of festival everywhere it plays. But speaking of what I was just speaking about, what about this movie with Meryl Streep and but directed by Soderbergh, Steven Soderbergh? I saw that one. It's got three old women on a boat and horrible.
Well, is that The Tempest also?
It's it definitely has the first syllable that comes after hashtag. But he's a great director, so my guess is it's a great movie. I just didn't get it, probably, because, you know, if a director is a great director, they using bad grammar, but politically correct, they don't make bad movies. Hitchcock's movies after Psycho were all flops, critically and commercially, and even The Birds. But they're all masterpieces. Marnie in The Fullness of Time is the most romantic, perverted love story you'll ever see. And there's a very accessible opera recently. But it took a while for the world to recognize that. So, you know, Soderbergh may be going into a different direction.
Well, one thing that I would tell our listeners is that you know what you're going to get with the Troma production? It's sort of the kind of fun, trashy elements, but there's some real deep thought to the way that that you've done hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm with the integration of the actual, you do some stuff in meter, which I thought was amazing that you would put in some real prose in there, But there were some really subtle nods. I really liked the bit with Caliban and Miranda, where Miranda in this case is jacking off two guys in an alley, and then when Caliban goes back in and says, "What are you guys doing?" They accuse Caliban of rape, which is a really twisted version of the actual play. And at that point, I was going, Lloyd is thinking deep here. He's actually making all of these connections. Are there any other wonderful little thespian nuggets that you could did for connecting the actual play to yours, that the little subtle wrinkles that you were really proud of?
Well, you used a word in association with trauma that has never been used before, namely subtlety. You're the first, Eric Lee is the first, Mike Campbell. The meter, the iambic pentameter, we developed this with the James Gunn when we did Romeo and Juliet. When there were important characters, they very often spoke in iambic pentameter. Often. And also, if there was an important moment, we put it in iambic pentameter. And we sort of developed that. We refined it a little bit in hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm. It's not as, it's blended better, I think. And Brandon Bassam is a professor at the, what's that thing where they improvise, Citizens Brigade, Upright Citizens Brigade. He teaches there. And we took a, you know, it took a year to write the script. So, you know, we don't take ourselves seriously, but we take our movies very, very seriously. And I'm sure the hashtag in the title has a lot to do with the theme of a bit of a cancellation society and all that kind of stuff. And there's a lot going on in that movie, I tell you. And there was a lot going on backstage. It was a house of love. a whole lot of loving going on.
Because benchmarking this against sort of the experiences that Mike and I had when we were young, which the environment in the 80s was the puritanical, super-Christian, conservative shaming. And now you have sort of the hyper-liberal, snowflake, political correctness shaming. It's funny how you see that kind of that swing of the arc, and you've skewered both, right? So which environment do you see is more problem, or which do you actually have more fun skewering?
I can't really answer it. I think that right now we're living through a horrible, I mean, never mind COVID, but before COVID, we are living in a horrible age where we have freedom of speech as long as we don't say anything. And now that we've settled for Biden, hashtag settled for Biden, I use that, hashtag settled for Biden, we're back to normal where the billionaires from the big lobbying firms are in the cabinet, and we're back to normal. Thank the good Lord, and Dr. Jill Biden will nurture all of us. I will suckle her ample breasts, and America will become united once again. We'll settle for Biden. Ugh, I'm gonna puke. So there's gonna be plenty to make fun of, even more. Yale University, my alma mater, has a big problem with the Gestapo, the lynching, figurative lynching Gestapo, and that had a lot to do with Shakespeare's, with hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm. They drove out the PC crowd, literally lynched a Nobel Prize winning professor who also wrote a best-selling book. A Nobel Prize-winning scientist and his wife, just because they believe in free speech and having a debate rather than a you know, a figurative lynching.
Heresy.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, it's not about learning; it's about basket weaving and a place to be and no triggering. And do you know who Trigger is? Trigger was a very famous horse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you guys, you look young, both of you, but
Asian genes. So, yeah, we're 50, 51, 52.
Yep.
We're not that young.
Not spring chickens.
Well, that's right. That's before Shakespeare. No, not before Shakespeare.
Hey, Lloyd, since it's Christmas time, I went back and rewatched Silent Night, Bloody Night. And I was just really curious about your role in as a young, very young producer at the time, and in particular the connection to Warhol's factory and the fact that there was so many people from Warhol's factory that were involved with that. And I was just curious about your connection to all that and any thoughts you had on Silent Night, Bloody Night, a brilliant film, certainly not hashtag Shakespeare shitstorm, but a great, great film.
Well, I can take no credit for the creative part of Silent Night, Bloody Night. It's an interesting film, but Theodore Gershany deserves all the credit. I was just associate producer on it because at the time I was working for Canon Films, and two of the producers from Canon Films wanted to form their own company and invited me in, so we made a couple movies together, all flops. Sugar Cookies was the first one. Theodore Gershany, who directed it, and I guess he wrote Silent Night, Bloody Night, was a good guy, very talented, but boring. His style was lugubrious, but he was married to Mary Warrenoff. And when I was at Yale, I used to go down. I liked the Warhol's movies. They showed one or two of them at the Yale Film Society, and I really enjoyed how Warhol broke the fourth wall and had this Brechtian subtext, even though his movies were quite unique. But I loved how he shared the backstage with the audience. And thanks to our low budgets, where in many cases we share the backstage just because we don't have the money to do the special effects perfectly, or we only have three background people, so we have to use three fat people to fill up the screen, that kind of stuff. Save money. So Warhol, I used to hang out down there in the factory in Max's, Kansas City. So I made a movie called Battle of Love's Return, and I had some of the Warhol people, but I never got friendly with the big Warhol stars. And on Silent Night, Bloody Night, one of my jobs was to drive Candy Darling from New York to Oyster Bay. And she was quite a very nice, intelligent, nice person, and unfortunately died prematurely. But, it was a different time then. Now you wouldn't. That world is now looked on as heroic. They were all ahead of their time, way ahead of their time. And it's a pity that they didn't, all of them were too soon, really. And so was Warhol. But I've done two programs, two retrospectives of Troma at the Warhol Museum in Pittsburgh. Warhol, he was an amazing collector. Oh my! The museum is the largest museum dedicated to one person in the world. Picasso has more than one museum, but Warhol's is the biggest. And you can't imagine all the collections he had of Indian silver. I mean, Native American silver. Mm. I mean, indigenous people's silver. First citizen silver. He had rare stones. He had coins. It's unbelievable. I mean, just a huge collections. Most people collect coins. One collection. He had like every kind of. Art. His own art. What a guy! What a guy! Seriously, I never really had any talk. I knew we would cross paths a couple of. I never deigned to speak to him.
Oh, that's too bad.
Okay.
Well, I was a little guy coming down from college in my bar mitzvah suit and hanging out with the cool underground filmmaker. But you could see There's definitely trauma. We have the actors talk to. Warhol was the best when the actors would suddenly, you know, they'd suddenly turn to the camera and say, "Andy, I want to have lunch now." And Warhol leaves it in the movie. It's kind of interesting. Lonesome Cowboys, I think, is, to me, that's his masterpiece. It's not the most entertaining. Who's the one who were Paul D'Alessandro? Is that his name? Who was the director who did Frankenstein and
Andy Warhol's Frankenstein?
He didn't direct it. It was the other guy. Yeah, and it was far entertaining. Also, the one with Holly Woodlawn was very entertaining, but that was the other guy who directed it, Paul somebody. Who's D'Alessandro? Oh, no, that was the good-looking actor, Joe D'Alessandro, yeah. Paul Morrissey, that was it, Paul Morrissey. So
Morrissey's
stuff was more commercial, but Warhol's was really a masterpiece.
Chelsea Girls.
Mary was in Chelsea Girls, which is where I saw her for the first time. And I, by coincidence, met her when I got to the set of Silent Night, Bloody Night. And then, of course, she stars in Sugar Cookies. Sugar Cookies, you should see it. It's on Troma Now, our streaming service. Go to watch.troma.com. Watch.troma.com. First month is free. And Ted Gershany and I wanted to make a lesbianic version of Vertigo, Hitchcock's. Some people say it's the greatest movie of all time. Vertigo, not Sugar Cookies. Definitely not. Vertigo is a masterpiece. It's an amazing film. And it didn't get good reviews when it came out.
And Oliver Stone as well.
What's that?
And Oliver Stone as well.
He was not in Vertigo, but he could give you Vertigo, let me tell you. Oliver was a producer. We grew up together from second grade on. We were in class at Trinity School in New York, and we met, and his folks and my folks were very tight. And when I say tight, I mean tight as in good times. And at any rate, Oliver worked on Battle of Lizard Turn, Sugar Cookies, a couple of other films. And then he turns out he was one of our treasures, one of the greatest American directors of all time. And I knew he would be great. I knew he would be great. I just didn't know he's going to be an axe murderer or an Oscar-winning director. And he
coin toss of which one?
No, he's amazing.
What I was going to say is.
I was saying how great Lloyd Kaufman's directing career has been. What were you saying, Mike, that Lloyd Kaufman is better director than Oliver Stone? Well, thank you, Mike. That's so nice.
That's it. You got it. Yeah.
More, that's it. Absolutely more prolific. Usually by the time that somebody's actually doing the Bard on screen and has as many films, you've got 55 directing credits, 138 production credits. Normally, you get a knighthood once much stuff, and you start doing stuff for on Shakespeare. So, you're not Sir Lloyd Kaufman yet, are you?
I'm getting a nightmarehood. Career. This is my 50th year.
We will bestow upon you the nightmarehood order of various things.
Being on the scariest podcast, that means a lot because it comes out of love. You know, you can buy an Oscar, right? You can't buy what you guys have. You guys have love.
We do it for free.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
So, you know,
but it's
there's
more fun.
We do this purely for the love of it and the love of movies like what you do. We lost you, Lloyd.
Can't hear me?
There you go.
You hear me now?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, Mike was fiddling with the dials. He's jealous of my mellifluous tones since I said that remark about Oliver Stone. He loves Oliver Stone. Sorry, I won't make fun of Oliver Stone ever again, even if he does have a very small penis. All right, where were we now? Talking about Oliver Stone's penis.
So
luckily, the cameras, you're not recording this, so I don't have to worry about anything.
Right.
Okay. back to hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm. I do believe it's an amazing accomplishment. And in a fair world, you know, probably after I'm dead or get hit by a bus, suddenly people will recognize my career. The only problem we've had is Troma's never had any advertising money. So, you know, it takes time for people to get for the word of mouth to spread. You know, Rupert Murdoch can spend $200 million on a 20th Century Fox, 21st Century Fox movie, but he can't buy word of mouth. He cannot buy it.
That's right.
No matter how good or bad. So Troma, Terra Firma, which was made in 1999, has suddenly recently become a big hit. But it took all that time, and it's now as a Blu-ray, it's doing great. And Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken Dead, has a very good word of beak.
We just covered Poultrygeist when we did a food-based horror thing for Thanksgiving, and that was courtesy of Mike. That was his called shot. It was Poultrygeist.
Poultrygeist is a whole other piece of artwork.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
it's my foul movement.
So
it was impacted turd. Let me tell you, it took a long time to squeeze that one out. That was a hard. By the way, if you go to Troma Now, on Twitter, it's at watch. It's at watch Troma Now or watch. If you want to subscribe, first month is free. There are thousands of movies, shorts, documentaries, music videos, cartoons, Tromet signatures and photo sets, comic books. Watch.troma.com. And it would be great if you all could put it on your website to tell your fans to go there, because, you know, we're paying 100%. We're paying everybody, but we don't get any salary. Right. But we just want to keep paying the staff during this COVID period. And that's really, yep. Troma Now is our existential, that the streaming service is really what's keeping us going right now. So
we have full appreciation for the independent horror films. That's what brings people to us, because there's the bigger outfits, you know, Hollywood Reporter ain't covering Troma. We'll cover it. And our fans know that it's these little festival films and the independent spirit, and that's how we get our that's how we build up our brand. Right?
Well, thank you so much.
We are linked with groups like you.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Now I probably ought to be thinking about moseying along.
Yes.
I've got to change my adult diaper right now. So maybe you have one more last question, or did you get enough? And we can always do another one, Mike and Eric. You know, if you want to have a part.
I know that there's you've got such a history of film that we were trying to pick and choose all the kinds of questions that we wanted to ask you. But
well, we can again, just call up Tom D'Amico, and he'll set up a situation where we waste the first 20 minutes of your time, and we'll do another 8 minutes.
We've done a pretty good job of that already.
No, I'm happy to do another one. It's just I do have something important coming right up.
Yeah.
And let's do another part two and talk about some other, I started in the late 60s, so there's plenty to bore you with. Anyway, what was the question? You had a question, perhaps?
Yeah, well, wonderful. Yeah, I think we'll call you again. We do have a ton of other questions, so one would be a disservice. We'll be in contact with Tom and Lloyd. It was a privilege to be able to talk with you. Shakespeare hashtag Shakespeare Shitstorm is an experience that all of our viewers and listeners should check out, because it really casts a new light on sort of our political environment too. In addition to just being a wicked satire and lots of whale shit. So, you know, that's
a spoiler now. Don't be a spoiler.
Just
by the way, if you all have a local theater, well, you have the Hollywood, and I'm sure we'll be playing there. But if there are any other theaters in the Portland area or Salem, we play Salem. Very nice theater. And I gave money to her GoFundMe. And, you know, if there are any other theaters, you guys could curate the Q&A. We could have a road trip, the whole thing. So think about that. And please thank
Hole in the Head. Done and done.
Thank Benji. Benji had a hole in the head. You know Benji?
We've been talking to, she's going to kill me because
I've Romani.
Romani, yes.
Oh, Romani, yeah.
And they're very much the Indie Film Festival. Folks, if we're going to try and post this as quickly as we can. It's still playing, and it's going to go to the 27th. So
get your tickets.
You can sign up for
help with that. Troma Now, much more important. You can see everything on Troma Now. Troma Now, first month free. You get thousands of free movies. And then you can unsign up after the first month or pay $4.99 a month and help preserve the oldest independent movie studio in history and Uncle Lloyd's problem with the cat tranquilizer. That feline good joke, I'm going to let you gentlemen go because I really have another event, so. Thank you so much.
We appreciate it.
We'll do it again. This was great. This was a lot of fun, and we'll talk more about the movie. So.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Eric and Mike. Best wishes, and have a Merry Toxmas, as we say in Tromaville. Merry Toxmas.